In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we continue these summer services in Anikoski, I shall read for the topic of the sermon from the first epistle of Peter, from its first chapter, from verse 3 until verse 12. And the words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance kept in heaven for you that can't be destroyed, corrupted, or changed. Through faith, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end of time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you have to suffer various kinds of trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is more valuable than gold that perishes when it is tested by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Even the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours carefully researched and investigated this salvation. They tried to find out what era of specific time the Spirit of Christ in them kept referring to when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who brought you the good news through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These are the things that even the angels desire to look into. Amen. This familiar portion of Bible from the beginning of the letter of Peter describes this situation when the work of God's kingdom, the mission work, started after Jesus had resurrected. And the first Pentecost had taken place, and the disciples had received the Holy Spirit in a visible way, and they had started to proclaim the gospel of God's kingdom. And the author of this letter, Peter, is a familiar character to us. The New Testament tells us a lot about Peter, for he was a disciple of Jesus, and he was a person who in many ways was an extrovert. Many times he wanted to be the representative of the disciples when Jesus was asking questions. And we know and we can read that by profession Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus wanted to make him a fisherman of people. And Peter could be being taught by Jesus during that 3 years that Jesus was working on this earth. Peter was with Jesus in all these miracles and all these works that Jesus did during these 3 years. And in this way, God prepared Peter for his upcoming duty. And when we think of this, that Peter participated, was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He could see Elijah, and through his own senses and with his own eyes, he could see and feel that Jesus was the Son of God. And one time when Jesus asked about this, that whom do you think I am? Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him that this was, you were informed or told this by the Spirit of God. So we can read that when Jesus predicted and foretold his own death and his own suffering, Peter then swore that he would die on behalf of Jesus. And he said as follows, that even if everybody else would leave you, I would not. But we can read that when Peter was there by the fires at night after Jesus had been captured and he was being interrogated, and some servants were asking Peter that you are one of these disciples of Jesus. Peter denied that, as Jesus had foretold. And one text in the Bible says that he even cursed and said that he had not known that man, referring to Jesus. I think in my own life that it would be very good if I had these supernatural experiences myself, where God would reinforce my faith by some experiences. But we can see that even though Peter had been with Jesus when he conducted all these miracles and he could see and hear and sense all these things that Jesus did, all these miracles, still, after these experiences, he could not confess when he was asked, when he was questioned, are you a disciple of Jesus? He denied. For Peter had grown in his own role in such a way that he felt within him that he was better than the others. He felt like he's stronger, that he has more knowledge. So he had grown out of his childlike faith. And we can see that through human experience, human power and strength, we cannot survive in faith. We cannot remain in faith through our own power. We can read how when Jesus resurrected and appeared to his disciples, Peter wanted to be with. It is not told in detail about how Peter repented, but the text tells how he rejoices that he has been born again into the living hope. So Peter had returned back to living faith, and in this way started to follow Lord Jesus. And we can read that by the shore of Lake Tiberias, when the disciples had gone fishing and Jesus came to the shore and he offered food to the disciples, and then he spoke to Peter that, do you love me more than these others? Peter answered, you know that you are dear to me. I love you. And there Jesus gave him this task, this duty. that feed my lambs, nourish my sheep, tend to my sheep. And this was the duty that Peter was doing. And we can read in the mission commandment when Jesus exhorted his disciples to start bringing this joyful message of the gospel word forward, beginning from Jerusalem, and to preach the forgiveness of sins all the way to the end of the world. So Peter was doing just this. And it is told how he preached at the house of Cornelius this gospel word. And when these people there wanted to believe, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And in our text, there are these congregations to which Peter had designated this text. They were in the areas of current-day Turkey. And these people there had received the grace of repentance when they had heard the word of the living gospel. So through our dear brother, we previously heard about the repentance of Zacchaeus and what happens to a person when he or she receives sins forgiven. And at the services, Eve services, we heard about repentance. And in our text, we hear about being born again and how a person rejoices over receiving his or her sins forgiven. And when we think of repentance, we can describe this quite well in detail. And we can see and observe even today that repentance is entirely a work of God. So a person, a human being, can pray that thy kingdom come. And God prepares the heart of a person to receive the word of the gospel. I have been in a few occasions like this, and it feels weird, odd, that how is this gospel word eventually received and believed? I can relate to this through a story. I have an unbelieving uncle, and he came to visit us in Ylivieska. I was, as a young boy, I knew this uncle from a long time, from my youth, as we had worked together. He had lost his faith. He had came from a believing home, but had lost his childhood faith at some point. And I remember this Saturday evening when we had sown seeds, and we were talking about all kinds of things in our living room. For some reason, I said to my uncle Yoko that, would you want to believe your sins forgiven? Yoko was in a rocking chair, rocking there, and I heard a response that, yes, I do want to. And I preached sins forgiven from the couch in Jesus' name and blood. The speed of that rocking chair did not change, and Yoko said that he wants to believe. And I thought in my mind that did anything happen there? And we wanted to double check this a bit with Yoko, and we went to visit some believers, and he got to hear the gospel word again there. But when we think of this further in Yoko's life, he received the strength to travel as a child of God. I knew this in detail, and I had heard his tough language he had used when things got difficult at work there making hay. He would swear harshly, but after he had received the grace of repentance and he had received peace unto his conscience, he wanted to leave these foul words, swear words, and he wanted to keep a good conscience and live like a child of God. So as we heard in the previous sermon, when a person receives sins forgiven, this person gains this will to travel like a believer. And Yoko has reached the home. His life was filled with sickness in the end, but despite that, he wanted to travel as a child of God, and he has now gone to rest. And when Peter here speaks of this new birth, and that he has reached the ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this crystallizes the foundation of our faith. This, that our righteousness is solely on this merit work of Christ, and the power of our faith is in this work of reconciliation. And Peter continues here that we receive this inheritance kept in heaven for us that can't be destroyed, corrupted, or changed. So a child of God, when sins are forgiven, and when the peace of God enters the heart, then a child of God can securely think that there is this inheritance kept in heaven. We know well in detail, all of us, that we have been born here once, and all of us have our time. We have this time that we can spend on this earth. And for my own part, as you can see, the ones of you who are here in the tent, that there's a gray-haired man speaking to you here in the tent. I'm already 65 years old, and certainly I can say that there's more years behind me than I have ahead. But how many years do I have ahead of me is only known by the Heavenly Father. And if I think that we can rejoice with this heart, and we can rejoice that once when my journey ends, I shall gain this unperished eternal inheritance. It is such a gift that a child of God can own with a full heart and rejoice over this today, as Peter writes here. Then Peter talks here that you can also rejoice over this, that even though you have to suffer various kinds of trials, us believers, we have temptations. Jacob writes about this, how lust, when that becomes heavy, it creates sin. And when this sin has been fulfilled, that gives birth to death. So all of us people, we have various preferences for evil. we can be evil to our neighbors. We have issues with being honest. We have temptations with our flesh. And when we are tempted, we can pray to our Heavenly Father that we would not fall into this sin. But it may happen that we might fall. We will fall into sin, and we will do wrong. We will work against the Word of God, and then our conscience will blame us. And it is very important then that we pray for strength from the Heavenly Father, that we would want to put this sin away. For when this sin resides in our hearts, it creates this wrong kind of growth. We can say that this wrong growth is conquering the heart, is trying to take over. And if we let it take over, then the faith will die. And in the Bible, we can find numerous examples of how this process goes forth. And the destiny of Judas is a concrete example. If we think of Judas, he had this temptation of greed. He wanted to have more money. And he abused the funds of the disciples. He used the money in the wrong way, and he hardened his heart. And even though he was being taught by the best teacher ever, he received the best pieces of instruction a person ever can. Despite this, he hardened his heart, and he conducted these evil deeds that we can read about, and he betrayed Jesus. So anytime we fall into sin, we can pray for strength to put the sin away so that we would not start to justify these sins, but that we would want to live according to the Word of God. When we think of this time, we have different kinds of temptations, perhaps different than what we had when I was a young kid myself. We have heard and seen and experienced how the internet and social media, all these cell phones, games, all of these things have brought a new dimension to the lives of people. And what is different from my own childhood or my own youth is that back then we did not have such temptations as children and the youth have today. If we think of this, that we have these cell phones now at our disposal, the entire cruelty, violence, and evilness is there to be seen and experienced through that phone. So as parents, as educators, as godparents, as grandparents and parents, we can pray for skills from the Heavenly Father for this, that we would guide our children to use these tools, these devices, in such a way that they would not eat away the faith from the hearts of our children, but instead that they would bring these viewpoints on faith. But I cannot say that this does not concern us older ones. If I look in the mirror myself, oftentimes I have been reminded that, have you not been staring at that tablet long enough already? So all of us, we can think of how much time do we put into the social media? How much time do we have for our neighbors to discuss with our neighbors about important matters of life, so that it wouldn't happen, so that through these devices our attention would not be fixed in the wrong things, and that we wouldn't neglect taking care of our relationships with our neighbors. So we can pray for wisdom from the Heavenly Father for this. Peter here speaks of various kinds of trials. He compares this when gold is tested by fire. So this kind of a temptation or trial of faith is more important. So what happens when gold is tested by fire? It means that gold is being warmed up so that it melts, and then all the impurities will come to the surface, and that the impurities will then be scraped, cleaned away, and only the pure gold will be left. And in our lives, we will face all kinds of tribulations. We may have financial trials. We may have temptations. We may have trials with losing our close ones. As children of God, we can pray for this, that when we face these trials, and the Heavenly Father, He lets these trials come, we can pray that we would not become bitter, but that we could maintain this mind that God will take care of me, that God knows my needs. And oftentimes we can afterwards see that this trial was necessary. And it happens, as Peter says here, that this trial will clarify the significance of faith. So these trials, they help us to think and put matters into order of priority. So we remember to think that what is the most important thing in my life. Peter here talks of this, that though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. In the opening sermon, or opening words, we heard preciously about faith, hope, and love. And of these things, Peter also talks of these things here. Earlier, we discussed that God grants and gives the Holy Spirit unto our hearts. Well, also love comes into our hearts then. And when we think of this word love, or charity, this love is sparked into our hearts. This word has many sides, many dimensions. There's different kinds of love. Love between spouses, love between brothers, love towards the family, and love towards the work of God's kingdom. But this love, it is burning there in our hearts. And if we think of these summer services, I have been in various duties here at summer services. I have seen things from the kitchens to various administrative duties in the organization. So when there were summer services in Sievi 10 years ago, after the services, I went to present the event, what it is, at some meeting of the local Lions Club or Rotary Club. And I told what we do here, how this thing works, and I showed pictures. For this is such a massive occasion, that this is a mid-sized city for a week in a field. That means tons of work is needed. And we pondered there at the meeting that a good organization is needed. Lots of planning involved. All these things. And the Heavenly Father blesses this. We have all these tools to arrange even these services. And work is done to make these happen. But the base thing, why these services are even possible in the first place, and why they work the way they work, is here. That every worker, in the heart of every worker, this love lives, this love towards the work of God's kingdom. And everyone who has committed to a work shift has committed with this prayer and thought that he or she wants to carry out this duty. And we pray for possibilities from the Heavenly Father to do this. Because when this love lives in the heart of a believer, we can see that the kitchen works and the traffic flows, and we get to move around all of this. And when we think there is no temporal reward coming from this, there might be a food ticket as a reward for this, but that has nothing to do with the actual task being carried out. But instead, this work is born from this will to serve the kingdom of God with our own gifts that each one of us have. So every worker in various points of work, places, you do precious work of God's kingdom. And it is visible there that the love of God lives in your heart. And as I've been working in this organization, I can see that we can plan things. But the children of God have a burning will to do things even better. So things eventually take place as planned, and sometimes better than planned. And as children of God, we can rejoice that we have this love that gives this motivation to this work of God's kingdom. And we can rejoice that in this way, God still blesses. But if we think of life as a child of God, that what is the most important work of God's kingdom, in which this love is visible in a very concrete fashion, is this, that we see even here at services, we see plenty of families with children. So this, that we take care of these kids, that we want to receive these kids, that the Heavenly Father blesses to us, that is this love. that the parents want to be carrying with this prayer of faith. And the effect of the Word of God, it is visible in the life of a believer and in the life of a believing family. And those fathers and mothers that are taking care of the next generation, they are doing the most important work. They are bringing up this new generation to this country, and they are rooting children to the kingdom of God. At the end of our text, Peter refers how the prophets have in their time how they foretold or predicted the coming of Jesus, and they have examined and researched the circumstances in which Jesus will be born. And we can see that Peter had this understanding that the believers in the time of the Old Testament, they trusted and believed in an upcoming Messiah and Redeemer who would reconcile their sins. And we can read from the book of Isaiah or Zechariah many predictions exist about Jesus. And when Jesus was born, and Peter had or when Jesus traveled and had a life without sin and showed and proved that he was the Son of God, Peter was there with him, and he could testify that he was this Christ promised by the prophets, based on whom also he will receive an eternal life. And furthermore, at the end of our text, Peter speaks of this, how this word of the gospel goes forward, and in Minor Asia, Peter was hosting services, and Paul was hosting services, and Timothy. Now these people, they had heard the word of the gospel. They had received it. And he speaks of how the word of the gospel is so precious. That these are things that even the angels desire to look into. So if we think of this, that amongst us, children of God, we have such a treasure, the word of the gospel, that even in these days is being proclaimed. That is this treasure that we can uphold. And we can preach even today. In such regions where the Heavenly Father has made it possible. I was once in Africa. We had services there. And in one discussion, a young African person came to ask me, what is the greatest piece of evidence in your life about the strength of God or about the existence of God? So what is the greatest piece of evidence? I could present the same question to all of you service guests or listeners. What is, in your life, the greatest piece of evidence that testifies and speaks of the existence of God and the power of God? I pondered upon this there and came to a conclusion that this, that I have been able to believe the gospel word, is the greatest piece of evidence. As Paul, we can say that the Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit that we are children of God. And this, that the Spirit of God can live within my heart, and that I can live of this Spirit, this gospel, that is the greatest thing. When we think of this in practical terms, as we heard in the speech of our brother, how this Holy Spirit creates and results in these big changes in our hearts, how Zacchaeus left his sinful life. He wanted to relinquish a portion of his possessions to the poor. But even more concretely, we can see it in the life of Paul. When he was still Saul, when he persecuted believers, he was involved in stoning the prophet Stephanus. He wanted to capture believers. But when God was able to catch him, in effect, in his life, Ananias preached sins forgiven to Saul. And his temporal vision was restored, but he received also the spiritual vision when the Holy Spirit came to his heart. And we can see how powerfully Paul started to do this work of God's kingdom. So we see how clearly the Lord in a person's heart was changed. Many times when we think of this matter of faith and factors that are related to it, in our carnal mind we get this thought that we can grow and develop, and our mind will become more trained. But if we think of this, that we want to enter from unbelief to belief and to become a child of God, it means repenting, and that the Lord in our hearts will change. But that is an act of God. And we can pray for this, that the Heavenly Father would give a possibility for this, and that He would prepare our hearts to receive this gospel message. As children of God, we have this gospel in our midst, and we can be asking for forgiveness and preaching forgiveness. We can bless our children, our close ones. On our own parts, we feel that often that our own pride and this our willingness to be right prevents us from using the gospel. But we can pray to have this mind to ask for forgiveness and this mind to forgive. And at this moment, you service guests, you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, sins forgiven. And also you, little children, you can believe your sins forgiven as well. Your misbehavior that you may have had about playing times, dishonesty, all this can be forgiven and believed forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And as parents, it is good for us to remember that to bless our children, for the blood of Christ will cleanse the hearts of these children, and that will root them in the kingdom of God. I came here in front of you very scared, in great temptations. I want to ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.